Dial M for Movies with Rhett Bartlett.
And on the phone from America, I have Rhonda Fleming. Hello, Rhonda.
Hello, Rhett. So nice to talk with you. Are you from the Rhett Butler, or are you the... I love the name Rhett.
I was named after Gone with the Wind. You are correct.
I thought so. I don't know of any other Rhett, so it's a wonderful name, and I'm happy to talk with you. All the way to Australia.
And I'm guessing perhaps that you've met people who were probably named Rhonda after you. Would that be right?
Oh, Rhett, dozens and dozens and dozens, absolutely. I don't know how many there'd be today, but mine was the original... the first he made an R-O-N-D-A. This was David Selznick that gave me that name. Or actually, Henry Wilson came up with the name, and then my agent. And then Selznick added the H to make... And I thought, my real name was Marilyn, and, you know, they took my name away and gave it to, you know, who, 2 years later. So I had to lose my name, Marilyn, because it was Marilyn Lane, and Lane was... Well, the Lane sisters were under contract at 20th Century Fox at that time, so they couldn't use the name Lane. So... All of a sudden, Henry came up with a name one day after trying out many family names. He said, what about the name Rhonda? And I said, Rhonda? Rhonda what? And Henry said, Rhonda. All of a sudden, I waited in front. He said, Rhonda Fleming. And I went, what? I had a girl that I knew in school with the name of Fleming, and I didn't care too much for her. So I thought, oh, I don't think I like that name. But that's the one Selznick liked, and he added the H in it. So it's been a very good name for me, and lots of women have been my namesake now, and we have wonderful letters from them, and I just want it to be a good name for everybody. So it's been a blessed name. I'm grateful for it.
Are you able to tell me your memories of David O. Selznick? What kind of person was he?
Mr. Selznick, when Henry discovered me running to Beverly High one day, you know, that was the golden age of Hollywood, and agents were everywhere trying to get, you know, would-be's that they could put under contract at those days and be their little center or whatever. And he then eventually met my mother, and I was 16, so I had to wait a while before he found this place with David Selznick. And he then called one day and said, I'd like you to meet Mr. Selznick. Well, I walked into the studio. I'd never been in a studio. I'd never trained to be an actress ever. I just wanted to sing. I could look at Deanna Durbin, who I didn't sound like, but I wanted to be. And I just walked in that office one day, and he was like, to me, he was like 10 feet tall. He was a very big man. And I was so impressed with the fact that he was, you know, very nice to me and very nice that he asked me a lot of questions. And all of a sudden, there was something they saw in me, and I didn't understand what it was. Then he called Alfred Hitchcock into the office, and I thought, what is all this about? And they decided they were going to screen test me, and then Henry said, well, let's go to the commissary and have a little lunch. So I said, okay. So went to my commissary for the first time and had some lunch, and then all of a sudden, a bunch of men... This is like a Cinderella story, Rhett. I mean, my life is like a Cinderella. There's no doubt about it. I didn't ask for it. I wasn't looking for it. It just happened. I go into the commissary and order a little lunch, and suddenly these men from Mr. Selznick's office came in, and they sat across the way, and they just kept staring. I said, what are they looking at, Henry? What can't eat? Can't? He said, just keep eating. Just keep eating. And all of a sudden, later, they came up to Henry, and one of the men whispered in his ear, he said, never mind the screen test, we're going to sign her. I don't know what they saw in me, and I was just a naive, you know, newcomer, that no training or anything, except that my mother was a very famous actress in New York, and played with Al Jolson and dancing around at the Winter Garden Theater, and my grandfather was a famous actor in Salt Lake City, so I guess I inherited a gift, because what was to be was pretty shocking how I was able to do what I did. So,
was that the first time you met Alfred Hitchcock?
Yes, it was. He came in and he had me, he also asked me some questions, and he had me look at a paper, then read a paper with some writing on it. I don't remember what it was, but I read it. And then he decided no screen test. And then about 2 weeks or so later, I got a call from Henry Wilson. The agent said, well, Rhonda, you've got your first role. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, well, Rhonda, you're going to play the part of you're going to have a mental institution, and Ingrid Bergman is your doctor. And I said, well, what's the part? And he said, well, Rhonda, you're going to play the part of a nymphomaniac. I said, what? I never heard the name. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what a nymphomaniac was. And when I went home later to tell my mother, she said, I don't know what that is either. So we looked it up in the dictionary. It was awesome. And I just couldn't believe that they thought I could play this. I was just wore a little peasant outfit. And what did they see in me? And later Henry said he liked the fact that I was young and I was naive. And that's what they wanted, something fresh and new. Actually, it was nice of Alfred Hitchcock to invite me to the first day of shooting to come on and just get to see a set for the first time. And he wanted me to watch Ingrid Bergman being tested for whether she was good makeup, should wear makeup or glasses or not. And of course, her skin was so beautiful, she never had to wear any makeup at all. And I got to know her. She was tall and I was tall. And she said, I am so thankful to work with an actress who is another actor who is at least, I can look eyeball to eyeball. So she was wonderful to me. And Alfred Hitchcock was an angel. He was just the most wonderful man to me. He was, I think, because I was untrained and he didn't have to untrain me like he did with so many people. Mm-hmm. But he had me come on and, you know, get to feature me with a set and just to show me around and let people see me and know. And then the day on of the film, he only made one suggestion to me. That was the only time he ever spoke about what to possibly try doing. And the nurse came in to get me from playing cards with some women, and I just, the lines were very strong, so I don't know how I did them, but I did. The first 10 minutes of Spellbound is the start of it. It just really kicks it off in a big way. And he said, instead of walking in the door to see the doctor, try slithering around the door, just sliding down on a chair, and just stare at her with that. Now what's she going to ask me? What stupid questions is she going to ask me? It made all the difference and helped me to play that role so well from just the fact that I, you know, he kind of gave me a little boost there. So he was wonderful to work with. He's not always nice to other women, I found out later, but with me he was just, in fact, when he was being honored, when he was 80 years old, he was not well, they invited me to go and sit next to him at this big, big party they had for him, and he was being honored with awards or something, and he was drinking a little wine, and I didn't drink anything. I just sat next to him, and he wanted to kind of hold my hand, and I held his hand, and he looked like he was just really not well. And when he wrote me the most beautiful letter later on for just being with him that night, I just, it was a treasure. So for me, and actually, if he never stopped you when you were working, he was happy. But if he stopped you, that's what Gregory Peck said, that he would only stop you if you weren't doing it the right way. And he never stopped me. So I guess I was doing all right.
So you were signed to a contract with the studio, is that right?
Yes, a 7-year contract.
What was in the contract? What could you do or what could you not do?
I don't know. I never really saw it. I just, Henry signed it, and all I know is a 7-year contract, and he was going to, you know, they were going to put me in some wonderful films, which they did after I finished Spellbound, and I went over to do, David Selznick sent me over to do Viral Staircase.
Yes, yes.
And with a great cast, and then I did another Out of the Past after that, which is amazing. That was just one of, you know, still a great, the best, the top.
That was with Robert Mitchum as your co-star.
Yes, yes, and I did a film not long after both of us were older, and my sister had just died, and he was going through a lot of trouble. We did a beautiful film that was very spiritual, and it was just a pleasure to work with him again. He was, you know, he never talked very much. He was very quiet on his set, but we did some good scenes together, and he was just a wonderful, I've been able to work, as a newcomer, I worked with so many wonderful people, like Ingrid Bergman and Gregory Peck and Bing Crosby, that, you know, and Bob Hope, and all of them I worked with so many of these people, and it's just like I said, I didn't ask for it, even when David Selznick called me in the office one day, he said, I want you to, he kept my voice lessons up, even though he doesn't make musicals. He said, I want you to go to Paramount and try out for a part with Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court. And I said, okay. So I went over and I tested with probably 200 other girls that were testing for it. But Bing liked me, and he came around to where I was doing they could see me in this glass, but I couldn't see them. And I was singing a little high, little sweet soprano voice, like like, that's where I studied. And he came and he took my hand. He said, come with me, Rhonda. We're going to go on one of the sound stages. And he took me on the sound stage and he said, now, Rhonda, if you're going to sing with me, you have to sing down a whole octave. And I said, but Mr. Crosby, I've never sung down an octave. He said, we'll try it. So I sang down the octave and it was much better for me than singing up where I'd been singing. So, then I talk about a miracle. He never wanted to star alone, so I got my chance to star above the title with Bing Crosby.
Wow.
So it's awesome. On the set one day, Bob Hope walked on the set, and Bob said, Bing introduced me to Bob Hope, but never, you know, I certainly have seen him in films. And Bob said, well, Bing, I guess if you can use her, I can too. So I went from being a little princess to being a duchess and a great lover, and then 10 years later did another film with him that was really a popular one. So
on the set of Spellbound, did you get to meet Salvador Dali?
Well, yes, I sure did. Yeah, you know, that was a dream sequence. Such an incredible thing that they ended up not showing it because it took away from Ingrid Bergman. But
that's right. Salvador Dali. He was on the set at the time, wasn't he? Did he meet you or the actors?
Yes, he was. He took me up to where he had purchased a beautiful nightgown from one of the big stores, and he took the scissors and he trimmed and shaped that nightgown what he wanted, just in shreds.
Oh.
And that was for me to float down the stairs in an incredible dream sequence of huge tables, tremendously big tables with big cards and crazy, the big eyes coming out of the ceiling and so forth. Mm. It was, you know, an incredible scene that he spent a lot of time designing. And I floated down the stairs in the scene and floated up to where Gregory Peck was sitting. I did not yet officially met Mr. Peck, but I went up to him and I gave him a big kiss and then wandered down to other places and around the room. And then I remember Gregory Peck, after he said, well, Ron, it's what a nice way we could meet. And I said, yes, it was certainly very nice. But yeah, I felt so badly that Salvador Dali had worked so hard on that scene. And as it turned out, they cut it down a lot as the picture went on to try to protect that it was Ingrid Bergman, you know.
Yeah.
Dali was an incredible man, and I was so happy that I had a chance to work with him.
What are your earliest memories of going to the movies?
I did as a little kid. I loved, you know, to go to the movies. Not very much. I think I might have gone. My mother was having a party or something, and she'd say, why don't you go to the movie around the corner? And I would go, but I was by myself. I was only like 10 years old. But I really wasn't into movies. I'd never been on a stage in my life or in a studio. So it was all brand new to me.
Yeah.
And I'm just amazed that I was able to do all these wonderful noir films afterwards, which, you know, just went on to, that was my favorite.
You're in so many different genres, in westerns and musicals and film noir. You know, in some of your film noirs, you know, you're one of those...
Oh, I know it. I love playing those parts. They were naughty, you know, naughty gals, and I thought, I'm such a sweet little nice girl, that it was a very difficult for me, not too difficult, to really try to make the most of playing a naughty woman, you know, and I got a lot of, it was more fun, it was more, a little more mysterious, like Out of the Past was Jacques Tourneur, he was the director of that, and yeah, he was wonderful. He just did a great job with that film, and he really helped me to stay that little mysterious, you know, pretty very mysterious kind of role that I played. And to this day, I'm not sure just what I was exactly, you know, hiding, but it worked.
And I think Kirk Douglas was in that too, wasn't he?
I've just made so many wonderful friends in the business, and so many of them are leaving us now. It breaks my heart, like Jane Russell and so many others that I was always, you know, my life is really about doing charities and think that I can help other people, and I'm so grateful for that. My clinic at UCLA for women with cancer and PATH, people assisting the homeless, and all the ones that help children and women. So I've been able to use what name value I have to do, you know, do good with it. That's the main thing. I did 41 films, you know, from 1945 to 1961. That's like at least 41 films. And then on top of that, all the television things I was doing and opening Las Vegas, and just awesome.
Rhonda, did the studios send you to go see the troops during World War II? Did you go and visit?
Oh, I went, yes. I went to Germany. I entertained the troops in Germany and went to the hospitals. And there was so many places that I went to entertain and to, you know, and visit the hospitals where it was really tragic. I would go in and sing for them and touch them, and because they were, some of them, half their heads were blown off. It was awful. Mm. I don't know how I even survived that. It was so heartbreaking. But in Germany, we did a lot of good things, and I went many, many places. And of course, in town here, I was always going around trying to visit where I could, wherever they were, wherever I could. Because I know one day when Bob will call me to go, with him overseas, and to this day it just breaks my heart to think that I did not go with him.
Right.
Because I couldn't go. It was something in the family, and I just wasn't able. And I just came back from Vegas. I could have had all the music, and I had the gowns to wear and everything, and I couldn't go with him, and that just broke my heart. But I had a family thing going on that was a problem, so it's that's why I made up for it, doing all of the other ones, you know, that I could do. So.
Hmm.
That was such a big war, tremendous war, and the results of it were, wonderful for us. So
you have a lot of fans down here who love your work, and they all just wanted me to send you their best and their best wishes to you, because they love they love all the films that you've done. They you give them so much joy.
Oh, thank you so much to all the fans down there. God bless each and every one of you. I love you so much, and I'm so grateful. I'm sorry that I can't maybe see you in person, but check my website when you can, and we can always, if you send the emails, we can answer all of them. And so just God bless you, and thank you so much for the lovely talk we had. My life was a long, long career, so it is almost too much to put all in one meeting, but it was a joy talking with you.
Rhonda, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Dial M for movies. With Rhett Bartlett.